Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Welcome back. Moolala, Money Made Simple, is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we are Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. Listen, debt is a brutal reality for millions of Canadians. It starts to pile on for lots and lots of different reasons: job loss, divorce, illness, bad luck, you name it. Our accredited credit counselors are available to help you understand your current financial situation and take you through all your options on how to move forward. And there really are options out there. So go to creditcanada.com. We are nonprofit, as I said. The counseling is free and judgment free. People dealing with debt are often looking at every possible way to improve their cash flow. And sure, that is cutting expenses anywhere they can, but it can also include increasing income. And sometimes that is with a side hustle or with some sort of a part-time job. It could be Uber, DoorDash, babysitting, retail, contract work, whatever. But a recent survey from H&R Block found that nearly half of Canadian gig workers are willing to risk not declaring income when they're filing their taxes. Yannick LeMay is the learning program lead and tax specialist at H&R Block Canada. He joins us now to talk about the implications of this strategy. He's in Quebec City. Hello there.
Hi, good afternoon.
Tell us about the findings in your survey. I mean, this was obviously the one that was most surprising to me, that people would be willing to take the risk. What did you take away from the survey?
The main thing I guess we took away from the survey is that there's also a large proportion of the respondents that are not aware of the consequences of not reporting all their income. So that could explain in part why they are willing or thinking, at least considering, not to declare all their income. But the fact is that there are tremendous, very severe consequences for not reporting your income. It could go to, of course, penalties, interest on the amount that you owe, but also it can go up to 50% of the overstated tax and credits that that you avoided by not declaring your income or by making a false statement, false omission. Also, can even go up to criminal charges. So there are definitely severe consequences related to not declaring all your income.
Absolutely. I just want to play that back to you. 50% of, say that again, the deductions, are you saying deductions or credits that they have claimed?
No, it can go up to 50% of the tax that you avoided by not declaring your income.
I see. So if you avoided $10,000 in tax, you could be there could be a penalty of $5,000, just as an example.
Correct, but it can go more than that, because also by not declaring your income, maybe you are eligible to other credits and other benefits that now, by including your total income, you're no longer eligible to those credits. So we're also going to include 50% of those credits that were overstated in the penalty.
In what circumstances would criminal charges be laid?
It has to be... So there's a different degree in your false omission. So that means you knowingly made a false statement, and it had a significant impact on your tax return. Yeah.
One of the things that people will say is, "Oh, I didn't know." How does the Canada Revenue Agency respond to that particular excuse?
It's our duty as taxpayers to know the law, because it's on our shoulders to declare our income. It's on us to file our taxes with all the correct information. And if we're not aware of what we need to include in our tax return, we need to ask the question. So it's on us to do this. So you cannot just say you weren't aware or you didn't know.
How does CRA find out? Because back in the day, if you had babysitting income, it would be really hard to tell that you had that income. Morally, you might feel obligated, but it'd be hard for them to tell. With the gig economy as we know it today, Uber, Airbnb, DoorDash, VRBO, all these places, they track everything. Does the CRA have access to the amount going to an Uber driver? Can they check in that way?
Well, CRA has different ways to audit taxpayers. The first step that we'll see is that they will send a letter to the taxpayer, for example, that has declared Uber income, and then they will ask for the receipts, and they will ask for all the paper trail that justifies the income that was included on the return. So that's a first step, and then they will, based on the documents that you provide, they will judge if this makes sense or not based on your situation. But they have many different techniques. Of course, all of these techniques are not of public knowledge, so they don't tell us all their tricks, but they're definitely well aware of the situations of taxpayers in Canada. Yeah.
I'm a rule follower. I've been filing my income taxes since I was 14, so I can't imagine not doing that. But a lot of people may play a little rough and wild with the rules here. I do want to ask a question in terms of nuance. How would you consider income that you earned from reselling your clothing on Postmark or a website like that? Because it wouldn't occur to me that that would be an income source. It'd be more like, well, I, you know, picked up some money on instead of just donating it to Value Village.
That's a very interesting question. And we get a lot from clients, because nowadays with all the apps out there, it's easier than ever to have a good work or to have a side hustle or to make a bit of money out of things that you have at home, for example. It's all about the business intent. So that's the first criteria that we're going to look at. So do you have an intent to make any profit? Have you engaged any expenses to make that profit? Have you bought any material? Have you got any training also to earn that that income? Because someone that is in business willing to make a profit will go through all these, right? So we will have a business plan, we'll have engaged any expenses, training, we'll have ask information before getting in business. But usually if it's only a hobby would be less common than a business, right? So this is something you would do once in a while. And frankly, if we go all over your expenses, the price that you bought the clothes, price you're selling the clothes, there's no profit there. So you're not making necessarily this to make any profit, but just as a hobby, for example.
One of the things we highlighted off the top is deductions and credits. And I say this all the time for people who are dealing with debt, is you need to file because it's the law. You need to file because you might be unlocking deductions and credits that could really make a big difference for you, especially if you're lower income or you have kids or whatever. Help me make that case to our listeners that that's important.
Absolutely. I repeat that every day during tax season. There are more than 400 credits and deductions available to Canadians. So, of course, by filing your tax return, you can claim those credits, those deductions on your tax return. But there's also plenty of credits and benefits that are paid to Canadians if you are eligible, simply because you have filed your tax return. So you don't even have to ask for the credit. You don't even have to file a special form for it. You're just going to get it. So that's, for example, the GST credit that is paid to Canadians, also the climate action incentive payment for the residents of certain provinces. So these are benefits that you get simply by filing your tax return.
One of the other hurdles for people on the taxation front is GST. They don't want to fill out the paperwork. It's complicated, et cetera, et cetera. What should people know when they are earning, side hustle or gig economy income? What should they know about GST?
So what's important to keep in mind, and that is true with everything in taxes, is that there's no one-size-fits-all approach. Because you cannot ask your neighbor or ask your brother-in-law what he did with his situation and apply it to your situation, because sometimes there's just a little difference that will make a whole difference on your tax return. When it comes to GST, HST, you need to register to a GST account if in the last 12 months you have at least $30,000 in gross sales. So that is before expenses. But when we're talking about 12-month period, we're not talking about a calendar year. So it could be, for example, you had $20,000 of gross income in December, then you have $15,000 of gross income in January. So that means in the last quarter of the previous year and the first quarter of this year, if you put those two quarters together, you have reached that $30,000 threshold. So you need to register to GST. But there's also very common exceptions to this. So some entrepreneurs need to register to GST the first day they start to earn income. And that includes taxi drivers and Uber drivers.
Really important stuff. Yannick, thank you so much for your context and insight on this topic. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Yannick LeMay is the Learning Program Lead and Tax Specialist at H&R Block Canada. He joined us today from Quebec City to talk about the many, many reasons why you should file your side hustle or gig economy tax.
Hi, it's me, your debt. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.